I failed to mention two announcements during the announcement time. Number one, this being the first Sunday of the month, we're going to have singing night tonight. And number two, the ladies' class to resume again this Monday at 3:30. Ladies' class Monday at 3:30. All right. Well, good to see everybody here this morning, and I trust that you were blessed with a good night's rest and we're now allowed to give this day to God, it being the Lord's Day, as referred to in the book of Revelation. And what I've chosen for us to study this morning is a continuation of our series in the study through Colossians. If I can pull up my charts, looks like turned off. You're not going to have any charts if the projector's off. So this is lesson 16 in our journey through the themes of Colossians. And if you are keeping track, we've went through the wives recently, went through the husbands, and now we get to look at the children. Colossians chapter 3, there verse 20 and 21. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, or obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." So Paul has made God's will clear for the family in all things. Wives, submit. Husbands, love. Children, obey. These are primary areas each are to seek to emphasize in keeping the home unit in lovely unity. So today we're going to look at the children. There are many great things that you and I gain blessings from having children. A lot of things we learn from our blessed children. The other day, Tanner was saying that he didn't want a hot fudge Sunday. He would be much more interested in a hot fudge Monday. I've never heard of one like that, but that I never thought about it from that particular angle before. And the other day, Penny was mentioning something, and I even told her, you know, I hadn't thought about that before. And I can't even remember exactly what it was anymore. But maybe that's because I keep forgetting the things that I learn. But it's a beautiful thing, the things that we do gain from our children. And if we're honest, we think we have a good idea parenting before we have children. Once you go begin to have them, then you really begin to learn. You learn how you apply God's truth in your life and in your homes. Children do teach us many good things. Their genuineness, their honesty, their clarity about the world that they live in, their trust in their parents' safety, their detachment from care and worry. All of these things are things that we must remember and that we return to God as we are children of His. You know, God said in Luke chapter 1 and verse 17 that He would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And I'm so glad He has blessed us with ours for the many, many lessons I've learned from my children. And I look into the audience and even as we were singing the song and seeing all the bodies standing and the children that we have among us, we are really blessed. And we are better people because of our children. Having said that, though, God intends them to obey their parents. Because though they have all sincerity, they have little knowledge and even less wisdom. These things come through time and through teaching. Thus, their responsibility is obedience. And we see that Paul emphasizes that in Ephesians chapter 6 and in Colossians chapter 3. So he says, children, Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So you'll notice that's certainly reiterated here in Colossians 3, 20 and 21. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. And so we begin here at the beginning as we talk about the obedience of children and the many other things to follow after the first point. Children are to be obedient. It's just what the Bible says, right? It's just what God says. Because the Bible also says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Just look at the many passages in Proverbs. And Toby was good enough to share with us during his invitation many of those passages in the book of Proverbs. To illustrate kind of the foolishness being bound up in the heart of a child, just ask any child what they would choose to eat if they could eat anything for the next 7 days. By Tuesday, they would certainly be not looking the color that they look, probably more like a shade of green, and not be able to go to school anymore. By themselves, they just don't eat healthy foods, do they? Neither do many adults, but you know, I say, what does that mean exactly? Well, we're going to stick with the children, though, this morning. We're sticking with the children. We never ask the kids, do you want to go to school? Or do you want to go to the dentist? Wouldn't that be fun? No, we make them go to these things. Why? Because, is it because we're mean and we don't love them? Actually, to the contrary. It's because we do love them and we know what is best for them. Now, here in Ephesians and Colossians, the word for children is not with regard to gender or age. So either boy or girl still in the home is to be obedient. And we mention that because I know when you're 16, you tend to think, well, I'm not a child anymore. This doesn't really apply to me. And I'm here to tell you that even if you're 18 or 20 and you're still living under your parents' roof, being supported by them, the Bible is still speaking to you from this passage. It still applies to you. You are dependent, thus not independent, and thus like a child, you must obey in all things. Neither is he referring to a specific area of obedience, since he said, obey in all things. That means everything. Everything? Everything. Well, Scripture modifies Scripture, right? We know everything is not everything sinful. Like if we tell them to lie on the phone, hey, just tell them mom and dad's not here. Learn not to obey that. That's a sin. Or to tell your child to steal, just go ahead and take that, just take it, don't worry about it. That's a sin. They shouldn't obey you there either. Or if the parents say, oh, go to your high school dance, enjoy yourself. No. No, that's a sin as well. Or to encourage your children to miss church. It's okay, there's other important things in your life. That's wrong too. Children are not to obey us in all things sinful, but in all things not within that category. Because Acts chapter 5 and verse 29 there mentions that we are to obey God rather than men. And I just realized I'm walking around with evidence of my children on my suit coat there. So, the problem though with us in understanding this passage and children understanding this passage is not the exceptions though. It's rather the in everything. And if we spend more time looking at the everything and not the little exceptions, we'll be much further down the road. The children are not to pick and choose which of the parents' requirements they want to obey. That's what Paul is getting at here. But many do that very thing. Sometimes they say, no, I'm just not going to do that, right? Especially the younger, they really think they can just voice their disapproval that way. But that's not their option. Now, many of the older children voice their opinion by not voicing their opinion. They may just keep sitting on the couch, right? I know I heard mom and dad say take out the trash, but I'm going to pretend that I didn't. That also is disobedience as well. That's as much picking and choosing what you're going to obey as the toddler who says no to mom and dad's commands. So while the child says no, the teen does selective hearing, and both are guilty of disobeying this commandment to be obedient in all things. Now, God didn't build in a caveat here saying you obey in all things provided that you want to. He didn't say that. Rather, you are to obey and not be led by your own wishes. Now, I might say that a loving parent will not ask from selfish demands of their own laziness and care not about the child's well-being. Like They're some kind of slave to be ordered around while the parent is the one on the couch watching the TV with the remote. See, that brings up the child to wrath, and that brings us into Colossians 3 and verse 21, where we're going to talk about a little bit later on. This is counterproductive. This is not what God does with His children. If you think about it, God works around the clock for you and for me. And a godly parent leads in such a way as well. Paul put it this way in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. He says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Training is to be done. Some of you have been perhaps watching the March Madness on TV, that tournament, and you know, the coaches, and they interview the coaches and they talk about the various drills they run, and the training that's just constant around the clock that they do. They're right there with those children, helping them develop their skills, become better basketball players. Well, our role as parents is to help them become godly saints one day, Christians that will serve the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6, you see the idea of the training that God had in mind that we are to emphasize in our homes. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, he says in verse 7, "You shall teach them diligently to your children." What shall we teach them? Verse 6, "The words which I command you today. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Constant training to be done. So you're right there with them. So don't just say, "Go do this and that while I'm sitting here watching TV." You show them the way. Else you instill wrath, as they'll see you as a slave driver that's just being fanned by the palm branches while they do the menial tasks of life. It will discourage their little hearts. We are trainers. Now that being understood, children, don't lose heart. When you're told to take out the trash or to clean your room or to put your shoes away or to mow the grass, this is all good for you. I know you say, "Now the preacher's lying." No, this is all good for you. Because being obedient, as a general rule, will lead to an enjoyable life because God will bless you. Ephesians 6:3 tells us that. Ephesians 6:3, "That it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth." See, you're developing healthier attitudes and lifestyles. In other words, it all makes you a better person. I promise you, it does. You don't have to take my word for it, though. You can just visit a prison, and you will see them filled with men and women who were kids that were neglected, who never learned that there were consequences for not obeying mom and dad. And they trained themselves in bad habits of doing their own thing. Yeah, that worked real well for them. Finally, they became lawbreakers, not obeying the law, doing their own thing, landed them in jail. By contrast, children that learn to respect and obey their parents rarely end up in jail. You see, where there's no respect for parents, there'll be no respect for their fellow man. Romans chapter 1 makes this connection. In Romans chapter 1, you'll notice as Paul talked about a lawless society and given to their own passions and desires and their own will. He says in Romans chapter 1, verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They're whisperers, backbiters, haters of God." Listen, these are the individuals that fill the jails of today, as they did in Paul's day. He says, "They're boasters, inventors of evil things." Notice, disobedient to parents. See, Paul says this is part of that lawless society. You know, authority, like it was in those days, is today a dirty word. Don't tell me what to do. It's the culture we live in. Teachers and school staff are struggling daily because we live in such a culture principals are struggling with these particular students. Don't tell me what to do. Some are violently assaulted. The adults I'm talking about, by these children. Under the old law, God wanted to stop a lawless generation from growing up and taking over a society. And so you know what He said to do with such children like that? That's right, you stone them, you put them to death. In Exodus chapter 21, just look at a couple passages here. The rest are on the chart. In Exodus chapter 21, you'll notice verse 17. 21:17, it says, "He who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." And again in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 9, Leviticus 20 verse 9, "For everyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him." Now the penalty is no longer the same today. But God knew what a godless society would become. Lawless. So children, obey your parents in all things. You know, that commandment right there would stop all of that. It would empty jails faster than any other thing. But sadly, rarely is it just upon the children's shoulder. Rarely is it only their fault. They need a parent to enforce obedience. So at home, on a smaller level, they learn the pain of disobedience and saves them from pain on a bigger level, such as jail time later on in life. But you know, parents today are being told by the state not to do this very thing. And if done in a certain way, namely spanking, you run the risk of losing your children. I remember the sleepless nights of wondering if the CPS was coming for us when little Brandon had some markings on his back that was meant for the behind. He just moved. It was an accident. Got the low of the back. It was terrifying. And I remembered it just like it was the other day. And I realized it could still happen. We still have some that are very young. Haven't even gone into kindergarten yet. So what we have is a society encouraging itself to keep the prisons full by encouraging parents not to discipline with the rod, as God's book of wisdom so clearly outlines. Proverbs 13, 24, 22, 13, 29, and verse 15. So parents naturally are afraid of not wanting to lose their kids. But in a tragic irony, we end up losing the kids when they're older. So we risk losing them now, or risk losing them when they're older, and losing them forever. It's all a risk. All of life is a risk. So go through with God. Trust in God. Children, obey your parents. But parents, obey your God. We can't expect them to obey if we refuse to obey. It's like the song, "Cats in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon." "My boy was just like me," it says. "My boy was just like me. For better or worse, if I neglect God's law, my boy will be just like me. My boy, just like me." So children are to be obedient, and parents are to enforce that obedience. Because an obedient child is well pleasing to the Lord. That's what he goes on to say in Colossians 3, verse 20b. "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord." Children, parents, don't ever forget that. Society may not be pleased, but they are not your Lord. Children need to be told that this is all connected to God, pleasing Him who watches over them day and night. The beautiful irony is that this is well pleasing to God, but will also bring pleasantness to you too. When you think of our society of darkness, this is really like a beacon of hope, if you think about it. And I am not overstating this case. Think about it. In this wonderful country of ours, with all the bountiful blessings that we have, at our fingertips. I mean, you saw it in contrast to what Justin shared with us about India. We are so blessed here. Then why is childhood suicide rates skyrocketing? Why? For every one child that is successful in suicide, there's hundreds of other attempts that were not successful. I just was through the drive-thru the other day in McDonald's and received my change back from the teller there, and I could see it all over wrists, the marks. Your heart breaks for these individuals. This culture of rebel against authority, be left to our own selves, do our own thing, don't tell me what to do. It hasn't brought any happiness at all to these youth. When our parents command us as children, is an expression of their attention and their care about exactly what we are doing in our lives. And God is saying that fulfills a deep need within the soul of a child. And so as you're obedient to your parents, it's well pleasing to the Lord, but it is also going to lead to a pleasing life for yourself as well. It's kind of like eating vegetables. You may not like the taste of it, right? But the body needs the nutrients. Likewise, children don't necessarily relish the idea of being commanded, but your body, your soul needs those spiritual nutrients. And it'll keep you, it will build you, and it will bless you in the years that you live. This is right because it's God's design and it pleases Him. And the irony is that it blesses us too. So the many other things. Children in the Lord, listen to the Lord. I want to especially address those children that are Christians now. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. There was a time when there was a youth, and his life was given to service to God. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, we see the Bible says in verse 1, the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare. In those days there was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." So he ran and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call you, lie down again." And he went to lie down. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he answered, "I did not call my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time. So he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be if he calls you that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went to lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." As a child of God, as a Christian, you've given yourself to the Lord and committing your lives to Him, being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And this spirit of Samuel must be your spirit too. That when he speaks, you say, "I am your servant and I will listen." You know more than anything that God commands you now and that you ought to listen. And so when his commandment says, "Children," and he's speaking to you when he says, "Children, obey your parents in all things," that you listen. That you humble yourself in such a way to say, "I will respect you, Lord, and I'll obey you." And I know you're sitting there saying, "Oh yes, Stephen, I really look forward to obeying Mom and Dad now." I know it's not as easy as that, but listen. Just like Mom and Dad, they may be servants of the Lord too, but they're always having to work on themselves as well. That's why we had the lesson on the wife and the lesson on the husband before this lesson. The wife's not sitting at home saying, yeah, I can't wait to have my will checked again so I can see if I can be tested with my submissiveness. Nor is the husband saying, oh, I can't wait till I'm just really worn out from work and I get to come home and I get to see how I can do with my love towards my family and be nice and helpful and all of that. See, that's all those are tests. So why, children, do you think it's going to be an occasion to look forward to having your desire turned down because mom and dad said so? No. You see, we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same boat if we're in the Lord. And we're to remember we're doing this for the Lord. In fact, the very next lesson, slaves and masters, or employees, employers, it's the same thing. God says, work unto the Lord. It's all for the Lord. So when wives see it as a chance to submit, is doing service for the Lord, that makes it easier. When the husband sees a chance to love and not being bitter, is doing it for the Lord, that makes it easier. And so you, child, listen. Listen to the Lord if you're in the Lord. If you will obey because you're doing this for the Lord, it'll make it easier too. We are all in the same boat. Whether we're husband, wife, child, we became a Christian, so we must trust the Lord with our life. And be glad you did, because He is the author of life. And so He knows how best to live life. So children of the Lord, listen to the Lord. Speak, Lord, your servant listens. Children, remember your parents when they are old. In Proverbs chapter 23, Proverbs 23, 22. Every now and then I'm doing these little lessons at home with the kids. We've had various interesting titles to those lessons. I kind of have a little fun with that to try and get them to remember things. But the last one was, parents need help too, right? Parents need help too. But here, especially when we're older, in Proverbs 23 and verse 22, he says, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. You know, this is a truth that Jesus affirms in Matthew 15 and Matthew 19, to honor your parents. Paul said so in Ephesians 6 and verse 2, to honor your father and mother. In 1 Timothy 5:16, he especially addresses this. Now, let's just turn to that passage there. 1 Timothy 5, verse 16, if any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them. So here's a Christian man or a Christian woman, and her mother or father has lost their spouse. And he says, make sure you take care of your mom and dad. Watch after them. See to their needs. As mentioned during announcements, Brother Bill Weaves passed away this week. What a blessed life he had in his 90s. And he could die around his family that loved him, cared for him. Four of his sons turned out to be gospel preachers. And think about him in contrast to our sister Hetty, just down the road. She has family, but family that really doesn't care for her too much. She has a rebel of a grandson that sees to her from time to time. But her own kids just don't care for her too much. And that's terribly sad. That's tragic. And it reminds us that we need to surround her with brotherly love all the more. I don't know, but I'm almost certain that the training that Bill and Twyla gave their kids was a world of difference than what Sister Hetty and her late husband did. Jesus said, wisdom is justified by her children. And that's true literally and figuratively. But even still, with the worst of trainings, God still says you children must honor your father and your mother. The proverb writer still says, do not despise your mother when she is old. You only have one mom and one dad in life. Pay them respect. Kids, remember your parents when they're old. Have them by you. Have them near you. Do all that you can for them. Remembering growing up, they did all they could for you. T.B. Larimore, an old-time preacher, poetically wrote this. He said, Speaking of this, what we're talking about, in a poem he wrote, "Take my withered hand in yours, children of my soul. Mother dear is craving love, mother is growing old. See the snows of many years crown my furrowed brow. As I have loved and petted you, love and pet me now. Do not despise your mother when she is old." Understand, this is a requirement, not an option. Jesus clearly showed us the way. In John chapter 19, in verses 25 through 27, as he's on the cross, it says, "Now there stood by the cross Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.'" See, he was talking to his mom, saying to look upon John now as the one that will be her son to take care of her. And to John, the disciple, "Behold your mother." Handing over the care of his mom to this disciple. And from that hour, it says, the disciple took her to his own home. He would care for her, give her food and clothing and shelter. John would do that. Jesus had made arrangements for her. So you see him caring for his mom until his dying day. They have all these rebels in the world that want Jesus to save them and Jesus to care for them while they neglect and forget and banish away their parents. I tell you, they can forget about it. Even Christ, with the world on his shoulders and a lot more troubles than we could ever imagine, didn't do that to his own mom. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees in Matthew 15 for neglecting their parents while trying to be faithful to God in their own minds. Jesus said all their service was vain. It's vain. Children, don't let your faith be in vain either. Care for your parents when they're old. See to it that they're not forgotten. See to it that they are showered with love. And last, for this morning, for us parents, I want to remind you, remind myself, to be consistent and don't give up. I kind of get that also from Colossians 3:21, where he talks about fathers to not just discourage your children, right? That they wouldn't be faint of heart. You need to encourage them as well. A reminder that discipline and encouragement must come in equal parts. It's all part of the training. And the reward of the good and punish the bad, all that needs to keep coming and being consistent in that. To not give up in that. To stay the course. Watch the horse. And don't be led off track to the goal. Because I know reality how it is in home. Sometimes home is like a war zone. Bombs are falling and missiles are being fired and grenades are being chucked. And we think, where's the white flag of surrender? I can't do it anymore. I don't care if they don't obey. I don't care if they just dishonored me, yelled at me and cursed me. That's it. I give up. Parents, we have to see that we're in this for the long haul. In Proverbs 22 and verse 6, have this one ingrained in your heart. Put it on a plaque in the wall. Look at it at those times when you want to find that white flag of surrender. Proverbs 22:6 says to train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, not when he's young, when he's old, he will not depart from it. If you only look when they're young, yes, you're going to give up. You're going to tire out. So all beaten and bruised and emotionally spent, hang on tight. You're still the parent. It's still your home. Stay consistent. Hey, maybe if they have to pay the mortgage and the car payment, then maybe they'll have a little more leverage. But your kids don't do that, neither do mine, do they? Kids, do you want to do that? Do you want to pay for the house? Do you have the money to pay for the house? Or the car insurance? Or the gas? Or the food? Or the clothing? All these things. No? Then stop acting like you get a say in all this. Just stop it. It's by the grace of your parents that they let you have as much leeway as you have. And trust me, you have plenty. My kids have plenty. Now, you may not like all the decisions, kids, but you are fighting a war that you will not win. Now, I need to have that on recording and listen to that on repeat. When my kids become teenagers and say, yeah, Stephen, that's right, that's right. We need these reminders. Need these reminders. You know, I remember that when I was a teenager, I yelled at my mom and dad and I fought with them. I regret that I did that. But I'm glad they held their ground against me. I needed that. And so if we want kids to see the light, we've got to hold on tight to what is right. And when they're old, they'll hold on tight to it too. I want to share with you this passage in Genesis 46. This is a lovely passage. And I think it's got to be the goal of every parent. In Genesis chapter 46, in verse 29. When Israel heard that Joseph was alive and he was going to make his way out to Joseph. And if you remember the story of Joseph, more than one time he'd ask his brothers under disguise, is your father still alive? Joseph loved his father. He remembers all that his father did for him. And his father certainly loved Joseph, though he thought he was dead. And the Bible tells us that as Israel makes his way out there, that Joseph also begins to make his way out. And in verse 29, it says, so Joseph made his chariot ready and went up to Goshen to meet his father Israel. And he presented himself to him and fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said to Joseph, now let me die, since I've seen your face, because you're still alive. What a beautiful, beautiful reunion. Joseph presenting himself. For him to be able to show his father the man that he had become. And law that was because of the training behind the scenes. And his faith in God that was instilled within Joseph's heart. And Israel, so overwhelmed with joy to see who Joseph has become, he says, go ahead and let me die now. I am at the happiest I could be. What a blessed, blessed moment. And to you and I, as we grow older, that's what we want, to be embraced by our children and to be able to see the people that they have become. So, parent, be consistent. Don't discourage. Remember to encourage. And stay the course. And what a proud and happy moment this would be for you one day, as it was for Israel and Joseph, father and son, parent to child. It can be for us as well. And that then they'll get those opportunities where they say, you know, I remember yelling at you. I regret that. Thank you for standing up against me. Thank you for disciplining me the way you did. Thank you for spanking me when you spanked me. Thank you for sacrificing your wooden spoon that got broken a number of times. Thank you. You see, we say those things now. When they're old, they will not depart from it. I'm glad you won the wars, Mom. I'm glad you won the wars, Dan. Say those things. And the Lord will win in all this. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. May God bless you and I in this effort. We bring this lesson to a close. Are you willing to obey Christ Jesus today? Paul here in Colossians says that if for the wife to submit to Christ, she needs to submit to her husband. For the husband to love Christ, he's got to love the wife. For the child to obey Christ, he must be, and she must be willing to say, I will obey my parents in all things, in everything, for this is well pleasing to the Lord. And if we're not ready to say that, then we're not ready to be a Christian. Because being a Christian is more than just a moment of baptism. It's a decision to lead the life after baptism. Will you live that life? Will you make that choice and not look back? Maybe you need to begin by saying sorry to your moms and dads and say it. Make a choice to repent of your sin. Then you can be willing to confess Christ before men and women and be baptized to have your sins washed away. And then begin to live the life that God would have you to live, submissive to Christ by being submissive to your parents. If you are ready to make that commitment, then all things are ready for you this very morning. If you're a child of God, but you've fallen away, this time is for you as well to come back to the Lord and be restored. He loves you, and you're His child. and He will not turn you away. Won't you come? All together we stand and sing.
Days are filled with sorrow and care.